Yeah, I mean, I think no different than last year. It starts on the defensive end, but he's a lot more than just a defensive player. I mean, his defensive versatility and athleticism allows us to do so many things on that side of the ball because of his ability to guard one through the five and do so many different things. But really, if you look at what he did last year from an offensive standpoint, it was a breakout year. And we really feel like that was maybe just the beginning for him, that he's got a lot of areas that he can continue to improve, a lot of areas that he will be even more effective on the offensive side of the ball this year. Through his first 2 years, he had not played in the post at all. Last year he did, and he became a real go-to player for us down there, getting the ball down there along with obviously John. And he shot the ball well from the perimeter, but he would be the first to say if he was on this call right now that he wants to continue to improve his ball handling, his ability to drive the ball, his ability to create his own shot. And he knows he needs to be even a more consistent three-point shooter, and he's worked really diligently this offseason in all those areas.
Coach Schwartz, I'm wondering, this process was so unorthodox that Eve had to go through. Did that create hesitation for him making his decision and trying to process just whatever information he had available?
Yeah, Heather, I think that's a great point, and I think all players across the country went through that, honestly. I think this is such a different process. The timing was so unorthodox. The uncertainty of the professional league, the NBA, the uncertainty of what college athletics holds moving forward. I think all those things make it very difficult. And in normal circumstances, an underclassman that enters the draft in April, I believe the deadline to enter was something like April 9th, and wants to test the water, so to speak. They really have 5 or 6 weeks to go through that process. They have the combine. They have workouts. There's a lot crammed into a 5 or 6 week period. This was totally different. This was looking at the beginning of April all the way through the beginning of August. So it made it extremely difficult. And truth be known about it, I'm not sure there's still a lot of answers. I still think the NBA still has a lot up in the air exactly what next season looks like. As we all know on this call that we know college athletics is still trying to maneuver and navigate everything going on. So, yeah, I think that's a great point. And I really believe that's why so many people took it down to the end. And that's the only reason it went so deep for Eve. And I think a lot of the great players across the country, because they're trying to figure it out. And you feel for them because this is not a normal offseason making that decision.
We're talking to Tennessee assistant basketball coach Mike Schwartz. You guys have been going through summer workouts. How have those been different? What do you think you've been able to accomplish so far with new guys on campus, guys coming back, of course, with the workouts you've been able to do so far?
Well, first off, we're very thankful that we have been able to work out and get back at it and be in the gym. And it absolutely has been different. I would tell you that until this week, there's been zero competitive play until this week. So that's all you have to know when you really think about it. Our guys have been here since June 15th. They had to go through a 2-day medical screening period. June 17th for the first 4 weeks from the 17th really through July 20th, everything was under medical protocol, as it still is, but from a standpoint of it was all voluntary. They were assigned a basket, a time slot multiple times throughout the day where they could come in and shoot. We're very fortunate with our strength and conditioning sports performance coach, Garrett Maidenwald. They were able to work out voluntary, but he could be a little bit closer to them. But from a coaching standpoint, we really weren't allowed to be with the guys until July 20th. But again, we are very thankful that our guys were here. They were able to stay in somewhat physical shape. I think our new guys haven't been dealt the normal hand that most incoming guys would. They would normally arrive on campus June 1st. So this is now Keon Johnson, Corey Walker, EJ Anasicki, and Jaden Springer. And those four guys would have stepped onto campus June 1st, and within a week, they would have been working with coaches. We may have had full team practices. So they would have come up to speed a lot quicker, both physically and mentally and understanding. So, yeah, it's been different, and it's been a little bit of a challenge. But the flip side of that is that there's a lot of schools that haven't had this opportunity. There's some schools that their players aren't even back yet. So we're very appreciative of the time we've had. I think our guys, because of the culture that Coach Barnes has set here with the understanding of being in the gym and working and trying to continue to develop your game, whether we were with them or not until July 20th, they did a great job and give our guys a lot of credit for that. And, you know, they understand how important everything we're going through right now is off the court, and they've done their best to maximize it.
There's nothing like rising expectations when you can't actually get after it on the practice court, right? Like, you feel the expectations and the buzz around the program going up, and you're like, we're not even working out here, guys.
No, you know what? We were talking about that yesterday, and obviously there was a lot of excitement with Eve's announcement, and, you know, expectations are part of it. But the flip side is you'll always want to be a part of a program. You'll always want to be around high expectations. That's what we all want as people, as a program, as coaches, as players. So that's a good thing. But absolutely, I was talking to John Fulkerson late last night. He called. He was watching the Lakers and the Utah Jazz play, and Utah was sitting in a 2-3 zone, which is, you know, pretty rare for the NBA. And we're working on our 2-3 zone, our zone defense in practice yesterday. And he calls at about 10:30 last night and wants to talk about what he's seeing. So, and he says, man, I just can't wait to get back and play. I can't wait till we can just play pickup. Our guys haven't played pickup yet. And you know what? But it's like this across the country. And again, some have been able to maybe move a little further, and some aren't even back on campus yet. But from the expectation standpoint and not being able to compete, yeah, that definitely has been different, Heather, because that's something we would have been doing for 8 weeks at this point. We would be in our last week of summer workouts, and venture to say we would have competed or played pickup all 8 of the weeks in a normal summer.
Yeah, man, a normal summer it has not been. We're talking to Tennessee assistant basketball coach Mike Schwartz, and we talked at the beginning of the conversation about Eve Pond's individual impact. But as a team, what do you think you guys can be defensively as an entire unit?
Well, hopefully we can continue to be a really strong defensive team. I mean, I think over the last 3 years we've been up there, and we had times where we've been one of the strongest, not the strongest defensive team in this league, and we want to continue that, and we want to take it to another level, honestly. And the year that really we go back to is the 17-18 season, where we really felt like we were the best defensive team in the SEC, and we want to be back to that. And one of the things that came with that season was our relentless ball pressure and our ability to do that. But in order to do that, it doesn't just take guards that could pressure the ball. It takes multiple guards that could pressure the ball. It takes depth. And I think when we look at this team from that standpoint, that specific question defensively, I think what we have is two key areas. We have depth and we have speed and athleticism. And those two things combined will allow us to do that. Now, with Eve, how he pertains specifically to it is the versatility piece. And we think not just Eve, but when you look at other players on the team, the ability to switch screens. John and I were talking about this last night. You know, last year we had got really into a lot of switching defense and our ability to do that. But John knows he has a long way to go to be the player he wants to be on that side of the ball, where he can switch out, whether it's late clock or whether it's particular schemes, that John Fulkerson can switch and guard a guard for the end of a possession or maybe in sporadic times throughout the game. So we have a long way to go, and we haven't been able to be physical or compete the way we want to, but the depth and the speed and athleticism of the guys that will allow us to pressure the ball, of the guys that will allow us to play 94 feet, of the guys that will allow us to disrupt the other team's offense, which is our most important thing we want to try and do and accomplish, I think we have those pieces in place, and Eve's a huge piece of it, probably the centerpiece.
Somebody that's been on the peripheral this summer and who you've heard little comments, very positive comments about, but Vol fans really don't know a lot about, is Victor Bailey and what he's going to bring to this team and bring to the table. What are Vol fans going to be most surprised about his game whenever they see him in action?
Well, what we were just talking about, his speed and athleticism on both sides of the ball. He is one of the guys that, as much as any, right there with Eve, right there with the incoming freshmen, Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer, his ability just to be a physical, fast guard that can guard the basketball, but can also drive the basketball, create his own shot. He's a very aggressive-minded player. And you know that we know how important that is. I mean, he's got that mentality that we want to be, you know, what we like to say, the head of the snake, tip of the spear of the defense, whether you're pressuring the ball full court or whether it's someone driving downhill and playing attacking the rim. And he's a really good shooter. And we all know the comment that Josiah James made a few weeks ago, says maybe one of the best hidden secrets in college basketball. But we love VJ. You know, that's what we call him. We love Victor Bailey because he works so hard. He's really an intense player. He brings it on both sides of the basketball. And he did something that was difficult last year. Sitting out is not easy. And he did a really great job helping our team be better but he worked and he worked. And that's one thing that he fits in with this group. He's got a great work ethic. So everybody's really excited about him. He brings it every day right now. He's had a heck of an off season and summer, but his speed and athleticism and playing on both sides of the ball is something that he'll definitely bring to this team.
Yeah, and Mike, last thing, we'll get you out of here. Kind of continuing with that, with Victor now being eligible this year after sitting out as a transfer, you have Josiah and Santiago coming back, and then the newcomers in the backcourt you mentioned with Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer. What will that competition be like? How does that make you better to have the talent coming in with the guys coming back?
I think great competition always makes teams better, and that's something that Coach Barnes, all the way back to when I played for him, 20 plus years ago, it was about that. So the bottom line is that that's going to make us better. It's going to make each guy better. It's going to make our team chemistry better. It's going to make our overall unit better. But in the end, when we take a step back and look at this team, we're going to realize that hopefully the areas of depth, experience, and that speed and athleticism that we've been talking about are three of the key areas that this ball club has. And we're going to do everything we can to maximize that and to turn that into a real positive. And so, but what we do know is practice is going to be fierce. Practice is going to be competitive. And, but that's what it has to be. And that's always been, you know, the MO of Coach Barnes' teams. And we know practice will be like that this year. And I tell you what, when you even think about the fact that they haven't had a chance to compete all summer, it's even going to go to a different level because they're all going to be very, very hungry for that once, you know, all that gets cleared and we're back in August and preseason.
Yeah, I know you guys are eager to get to that point, right?
Yeah, no, that would be an understatement. And you know what? I would say this. I think the whole country is. I think Ball Nation is. I think football, basketball, baseball, you name it, women's basketball, it doesn't matter. I think the whole country is ready and excited for that. And it's been great to see what's been kind of put back in front of us with the NBA and Major League Baseball and some of the soccer leagues around the world. And I think all that is exciting. And I think we just want to keep this moving forward and do it with all the health and safety in mind.
Yep, totally agree. Mike, it's great to have you on the show. As always, we appreciate you taking some time. All the best moving forward, and look forward to talking to you again as we get closer to the season.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you guys. Stay safe.
Mike Schwartz, Tennessee assistant basketball coach. Good stuff there, talking and breaking down a roster that I agree. I mean, he laid out the keywords: depth, yep, talented, athleticism. They've got it all, I think, especially with Eve Pons coming back, that announcement yesterday.
Yeah, and the fact that there's a lot of excitement, not only just in the community, but on this coaching staff, because they see how good individually these players are, and the fact that they haven't even gotten in the full work yet of having hands-on scrimmages and things like that. I mean, they're seeing the very baseline of what's to come, and they're feeling excited about it. That's definitely fun to hear.
Don't go anywhere. When we come back, there is news with football practices for fall camp. Fall camps are going to be a little bit different as the season has been pushed back. We'll give you details on what the SEC is looking to do with fall camp when we come back right here on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. We have another 40 minutes to go. Enjoy talking to Tennessee assistant coach Mike Schwartz, talking about what's going on with Tennessee basketball behind the scenes. Just another reminder of how different things have been for those guys. And it's really good, I'd say, that Tennessee has a number of veterans who are probably better at handling that and helping freshmen along in a very different year that none of them are used to, obviously. So appreciate Mike Schwartz taking a few minutes to talk to us about Eve Pons returning and Tennessee's basketball team, what they've been doing, as we also continue looking ahead to the football season. And football practices have started, I guess, at Oklahoma, and they've been set to begin around the country here in the next few days. Well, I read from SI.com, Ross Dellinger, National College Football Reporter, wrote just a few minutes ago, the SEC office has approved a new preseason plan that delays practice deeper into August. As I read from Ross's story, as part of the plan, teams can practice 25 times over a 40-day period beginning on August 17th. During that time, schools must adhere to the NCAA's normal in-season football access time of 20 countable hours a week. 2 days off each week are required. The new preseason plan expands the SEC's practice window by 11 days, providing flexibility for more off days and potential COVID-19-related interruptions. This is, of course, coming with the announcement last week that the SEC will start September 26th, not the 5th. So the regular season being pushed back 3 weeks, the start of fall practices is being pushed back as well. From Friday through August 16th, staffs will be restricted to 11 hours a week of football or strength work related events, 6 hours for strength and 5 hours for football.
I'll tell you one thing. Now, on the surface, it looks like a much easier preseason to navigate. I mean, the fact that obviously two-a-days have been over for a couple of years now, you're going to have more off days, so your work is going to be more spread out. But when you look at that, it's going to last 40 days. That is brutal. Like, yeah, you might not be getting the absolute body beat down that you normally do in like a 3 week period where you're doing several two-a-day practices a week and stuff like that. But the mental grind of a 40-day ramp up period that could even face delays based on testing numbers. I mean, it's not set in stone that it's 40. I mean, that's, you know, what they're going into this as. That just sounds like such a mental grind that would be brutal.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long way to go. And as Ross notes, the reason they have such a long window, I mean, it's a 21-day delay from the expected start to the actual start, September 26th. So that's a three-week period. But as he notes, they have the expanded window to deal with flexibility, to allow flexibility if you run into complications. I mean, we're still seeing schools shut down their workouts right now.
Yeah.
That's happened again in the Big Ten.
And what Coach Schwartz said, you know, that like there are other team basketball teams across the nation that haven't even got all their guys back on campus yet to even like work out. So, I mean, that's just the reality that everybody's operating in, and everybody is so different based on, you know, their counties and what's going on just from an overall health perspective with where that school is located. I mean, there's just a lot of hurdles to still contend with, but it is good that the SEC is laying out this plan and kind of, we talked about it, and this is exactly what me and you predicted, an elongated fall camp. That's what this is.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to push it back, right? They're going to continue with the walkthroughs, so it's not like they're shutting things down. That's not what this is. From Friday through August 16th, staffs will be restricted to 11 hours a week of football or strength work-related events. The walkthroughs must be conducted without equipment. That's no footballs, helmets, or pads. And in the enhanced access period from Friday, which was to be the start of fall practice, Friday to August 16th, teams have been granted 3 extra hours for non-football related meetings. So there's a little extra access from that standpoint, but I mean, it's delayed. So obviously there had to be an adjustment, or at least you would think so. And that's the case. So Ross Dellinger, SI.com, with the details, as the SEC has not announced this, he is reporting this.
Yeah. What are people meeting about if it's not about football? I don't understand the extra 3 hours there for non-football related meetings.
A rock, paper, scissors strategy.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, come on now, that is a farce right there. If you're getting together, you're talking about football. That's for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know exactly what that means.
Yeah.
But it may mean non-football, like walkthrough activities, but meetings, you know, they have meeting periods. So I don't think they're not allowed to discuss the sport of football. I don't think that's what that means.
Yeah, and discuss
that'd
potential
be
strategies that they're going to be implementing.
So, I've been thinking about the keto diet here recently. Yeah, I'm doing some intermittent fasting. Yeah, take it or leave it, not sure.
I like that. But I just, you know, with the elongated process, obviously you're not going to be stressing your body as much. You're not going to be getting as fatigued as you would in a normal fall camp setting. And one of the things that everybody has been concerned with on a serious note is just those soft tissue injuries. You know, especially when you get into games, if you don't feel like you've really put your body to the test during fall camp, are you preparing yourself adequately for when the live game action starts?
That's a real subject for sure. That's something that'll be a big focus, and making sure guys are physically ready to go. We can talk about the mental aspect. The physical aspect is And it's been stressed at the NFL level. I mean, the Players Association made it a big point of emphasis. That's going to apply to the college level as well. So an updated schedule for practice fall camp, August 17th, the new start date in the SEC. We will come back with Jay Busby of YahooSports.com. We're with you for another 30 minutes, and then Sports Talk will take over at 3 right here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us on this Tuesday afternoon. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward, and we are with you for another 30 minutes. That music you hear means it's time to talk to Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports. He joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Jay, we appreciate the time. First thoughts on the NBA restart. There's a bubble game going on right now. The Nets are actually up on the Bucks, which is fascinating. But your thoughts on how things have gone the last few days in the bubble. The NHL is another bubble sport that has started back up.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the bubble is the way to go, isn't it? I mean, just purely from the safety standpoint, but also, you know, just if we could just for a second put aside the whole fear and the concern about how this is going, and just think for a second that it is kind of nice to be having NBA and NHL games going on pretty much constantly. It's like perpetual March Madness. So, yeah, I mean, there's so much to concern us, so many things to worry about, but you know, at this point, I'm taking small victories where I can. And so being able to watch basketball pretty much any time of the day is right up there.
Hey, Jay, what I'm all in on is that for the first time in 13 months, we're talking about a golf major this week. Have you started focusing at all on the golf world and all the different possibilities of who could be winning at the TPC Harding Place later on this week?
Oh, yeah. We've been focused hard on that for the last few days, and we've got all kinds of stories coming out over the next few days about it, just because you're right. It's so much fun. It's been 13 months since the last major, which is kind of astounding. I mean, it means that we'll get 7 majors over the next 12 months, but still, it's been a long, long go. And so the PGA Championship kind of historically gets slagged off as the fourth of 4 majors, but it's really the one that's running the show right now. So everybody's excited for it as best they can be. And it ought to be a lot of fun. I don't think it's going to be a particularly difficult golf course, but it should be a really, really good opportunity for the best in the game to really step up.
Jay Busby is with us from Yahoo Sports. Justin Thomas is back to being number one. Is he the best player in the world? Is there a definite answer for that? John Rahm had just taken back over the number one spot. What would you say?
I would say the best player in the world is the number six guy, Brooks Koepka. He's the guy, I mean, it depends on how you measure it. Obviously, you know, if you're number one, then you are numerically the best player in the world by a reasonable and logical mathematical formula. But in terms of the guy that you would want, that you're going to lay your money on, that you're going to put your money on and expect that's going to win if you had to have that proverbial tournament to win your life, I mean, Koepka's the guy right now. He figures out a way to win every single major. He's in the mix. It's been 12 straight majors that he's been up there in the top six, if I'm not mistaken, and he's won 4 of those. I mean, it's remarkable how he manages to put himself back into position time after time. He had played terrible this entire year, right up until last week when he got a second place finish, and now he appears to be just right back in position to win yet another major.
Somebody else's name that everybody keeps, talking about is Bryson DeChambeau, and he gets butted a lot. He's finishing in the top 10, but yeah, he hasn't, you know, won yet. And then he wins in Detroit. Well, he hasn't beat a tough field. Is this Bryson DeChambeau's time to maybe silence all the naysayers?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is a course. Harding Park is a course that he could do it. Harding Park is a municipal course, so it's not going to be set up as difficult as a lot of private courses. Obviously, not as difficult as a U.S. Open course. The PGA is generally the closest of the tournaments to a regular sort of tour stop. So he's going to have the opportunity to really unload. He's got that driver, and he's got the ability to pick up shots on the field like nobody else on tour. So, yeah, this would be one of those perfect opportunities for him to really step up and take that next leap forward. It would not surprise me at all to see him win this week.
We're talking to Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports. Jay, we started out talking about the bubble sports. You have Major League Baseball, which is, of course, playing in home parks, and you have travel included. We've seen a number of postponements. What do you think about how things have gone and what might need to change to try to make sure the Major League Baseball season not only continues but finishes?
I mean, there's so many so many different components to this, and much of them are under the players and the team's control, but much of them aren't. You know, there are just some things. This virus is so incredibly contagious, so incredibly transmissive, that it's very, very difficult to keep it out once one person has it. And you can't just say, well, everybody needs to just take better care of themselves without being in a bubble. I mean, it happened to Freddie Freeman. He was taking all kinds of care, and somehow he managed to contract it, and it really knocked him down. So what you're going to see is teams just endeavoring to create their own sort of mini bubble, because that's really the only way that it seems to be working. I mean, the NHL has come up with what appears to be a flawless plan, one that's obviously beyond the reach of baseball and football and college football because of their size. But that seems to be the way to go, just to limit as much interaction as possible so that you can get as much of the season done as possible.
For people that make the argument about just there being dramatically less travel in the NFL than any other sport, is that a point that needs to be focused on more as the NFL bubble just doesn't seem attainable?
Yeah, I mean, it does help that you've only got 8 road trips or fewer. It depending on how it turns out. But the problem is that you've got much, much larger staff. You know, you've got 200 people there that are going to be in connection with the staff. And so there's that exponentially raises the number of people that can be infected. You know, and the NBA teams, they're traveling with about, you know, a few dozen people. But NFL teams, it's just monstrous how large they have to have their traveling crews. So, yes, while you limit the possibilities out of getting infected on the road, there's certainly always the possibility of getting infected at home as well.
Jay Busby, Yahoo Sports, there in your backyard, how brutal is the news of Mike Soroka lost for the season with the torn Achilles?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I think it's one of those things where you just really, you weren't sure of how good the Braves had a chance to win. I mean, but everybody has kind of a puncher's chance this year, and the Braves were playing well. And so to have him taken out by that, you know, just really an unfortunate injury, just coming off the mound like that, it's brutal to see. And the long-term effects are, of course, you know, a concern as well, how long it's going to take him to rehab. It's going to be, you know, probably a year before he's back to his ace form. And so it's tough to see in any standpoint. And obviously, you know, your first thoughts are with him and making sure that he rehabs. But then, as a fan, you know, you're like, ah, that sucks, man. It takes out one of our best weapons.
Hey, when something like that happens, Jay, to dash your team's hopes, do you then adopt another team to kind of get a vested interest in? Or is there any, like, you know, changing fences or changing sides of the fence, I should say, after a major injury to a person on your team?
Well, come on. Now you've been – when the Dallas Cowboys have played themselves out of contention for most of the last 20 years, you suddenly become a Giants fan?
Well, no, not the Giants, but I took a vested interest in Tom Brady and seeing what they were doing up there in New England.
Sure. No, I – in all seriousness, I mean, you know, you follow your team right until they hit the ground. But, yeah, you start to kind of – you look at other teams. You know, I'm being from Atlanta. I do not have a dog in the bubble hunt in the NBA or the NHL for that matter. So, yeah, you know, you'll pick a team here or there. But it is always tough. But this is the kind of thing where it seems very, very difficult for Atlanta right now, the Braves, because they already had problems with starting pitching. But, you know, you never know. You may have someone step up and have the few weeks of his life, because it only has to be a few weeks of exceptional play to propel you to a championship this year in baseball.
Yeah, would you prefer to adopt another team to root for, or just find a team to root against? Just root against the teams that you typically don't like anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's always a safe bet. You know, rooting against the Mets is you never run out of opportunities for enjoying others' pain when you're rooting against a team like the Mets. So, yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, depending on how you're feeling on any given day.
Hey, Jay, before you go, I want to get an NFL thought from you. We were talking about Ben Roethlisberger coming back in the Pittsburgh Steelers earlier. Big Ben saying he's lighter than he's been in 13 or 14 years. What do you think of Big Ben coming back and the impact he could make on the Steelers after last season, of course, was so disappointing?
Yeah, I mean, they're older, and they have not they've kind of swapped out pretty much everybody around him. And so you wonder how guys like Juju and James Conner are going to replace the guys that they took out. So it's going to be interesting to see if they're able to step up to that level, because they had opportunities last year. They had no quarterback whatsoever, and Roethlisberger certainly could have taken them to into the playoffs and maybe even deep in the playoffs last year. You wonder how much he's got left, but at his age, effectively taking a season off can't be a bad thing.
Yeah, it's interesting in the NFL as well. You still have that collection of, frankly, just older quarterbacks. Brady and Brees and Roethlisberger. Aaron Rodgers isn't that young anymore. And then you have Mahomes and Lamar. They've won the last two MVPs, a bunch of young quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson, that are trying to kind of take over while the older guys are still trying to hold on and win one more title at least.
Yeah, I wonder how much Roethlisberger has left, but certainly he's younger than Tom Brady, and everyone is already predicting big things for the Buccaneers this season. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. He's got so much talent. The question is whether the talent around him is going to be able to hold up its end of the bargain.
I don't know. Big Ben, though, he's aged like dog years with all those hits he took early on in his career. So him and Tom Brady might actually be the same age.
He does look like Batman out there. The Batman that's got the armored outfit, in the video games where he just looks like a big tank. Well, he's got so much padding on him out there that, watching Ben Roethlisberger try and scramble is really one of the fun things in football.
Totally agree. Jay Busby, read his work at Yahoo Sports. A lot of good things going on there. Subscribe to the newsletter as well. It's a great start to your day in your email inbox. Jay, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. Y'all take care.
Jay Busby of Yahoo Sports, author of the book Earnhardt Nation, joining us here on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
Yeah, and touched on everything. The fact that we just have, after months of drought, there is just this huge pool of water in front of us that is all sports, from baseball to basketball. You've got football that's getting ramped up, hockey, now golf is really hitting its stride. It's just incredible, especially after what we've all been through. It's just amazing.
The SEC has announced the adjusted dates for preseason football activities, as Ross Dellinger, he reported here in the last hour for Sports Illustrated, that football activities with the first allowable practices will now be scheduled for August 17th. So being pushed back about a week and a half, with the regular season being pushed back 3 weeks. So August 17th, the new look to the preseason practice calendar.
Yeah, and they're going to rock and roll for 40 days of an elongated fall camp. It's going to get long, people.
Well, the last 4.5 months have taken about 4.5 years, so 40 days, we can do another 40-day run, right?
Yeah, sure, especially with the optimism level of what the approach of football season will bring. It'll be huge.
Should be. We'll come back. Final segment with the Power Poll and then Sports Talk taking over at 3 o'clock right here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back for the final segment of Sports 180. Thanks for being with us, as we'll wrap things up with the Power Poll coming up in just a few minutes. Been a fun show today, talking about Eve Pons returning to Tennessee. If you missed our interview with assistant basketball coach Mike Schwartz, Tennessee's associate head coach, good stuff. Not only talking about Pons, but Tennessee's roster. And interesting hearing the perspective that last night, John Fulkerson, watching what they're doing in the NBA, checks in with one of the games and what they're doing defensively. And those guys have to be so eager to get back to regular work, but as Mike pointed out, same deal for everybody. And for some, it's been harder to get back to work. So yeah. It's a long process, and I don't think anybody's enjoying the differences of 2020 compared to other years, but you got to work through it. And think about last year, Tennessee was a really inexperienced team overall compared to where it had been the last couple of years. This is a team with veterans, even if you have a newcomer in Anasicki or Bailey who set out last year. Those are older guys, so they can help some of the younger guys go through a very different offseason.
Yeah, I thought one of the things that stood out from our conversation with Coach Schwartz was that the players are hungry. They are ready to get after it. They're tired of just doing the workouts and the social distancing thing. They're ready to get their hands on each other and start pushing each other. And I thought that was really cool, because that just goes to show the competitive makeup of this caliber of player that Rick Barnes has been able to assemble. And the fact that, you know, you've got guys like a Josiah Jordan James that he's probably got higher expectations for himself than even what the fans do. And he's going to come in with a chip on his shoulder, having not played the way he wanted to last year. And hopefully he is 100% healthy throughout the season. You got guys like a Victor Bailey, as Coach Schwartz pointed out, it's not easy to sit there in red shirt and sit out a year. It absolutely stinks. And to know that, you know, you just want to be out there. What are you working for? The fact that he's going to have a lot to prove. There's so many awesome storylines outside of just the newcomers and including Eve Pons making the decision to come back. It just really does get you fired up for basketball season.
It does. And, of course, just like with football, you hope basketball season, one, takes place, two, takes place as much as it can, as right now they're planning on having everything start up November 10th as scheduled, but they're going to make official decisions here in a few weeks. They don't have to right now with basketball season being further away, but who knows how it's going to play out. So, of course, you hope to see a season. The last thing anybody wants is to have a second straight year with the canceled NCAA tournament, but Tennessee fans especially, I think, are going to be excited to see what this team can do, because this team, I think it'll be fun to watch. I think they'll be a really good team, and they're going to be in it late in the season.
I want to see, too, you brought this up, I think it was off the air, about just how special the Grant Williams, the last Grant Williams team was with Admiral Schofield, and the 19-game winning streak, the 31 win total, you know, for the season, just unbelievable what they were able to accomplish. And then, you know, ending the season in the Sweet 16, not where everybody wanted, but still just such a remarkable season. You know, can this team challenge that? I won't say the win streak, but could they challenge the 31 win total? Because on paper, there are so many pieces of this team that you would take over pieces on that team. It's really just fun to think about in comparison to just a couple of years ago, what you're talking about on paper with this Vol squad.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, depth is a word that Mike Schwartz used a lot, and you're going to hear everybody bring that up with this team, I think, because if you go position by position or you look through the roster, and that's before we start to get into how some players could develop. You know, Olivier Komwa and Devontae Gaines, the depth that they could provide. What is Juroš Plavšić after having the chance to play some last year? What is he able to do? And you're not going to play everybody. I mean, you have to figure out a rotation at some point. But I just, you know, the talent from an NBA standpoint, if you want to look at it that way, this team has a lot of that. You look at the ability to have players play different positions, switch on defense, handle the basketball, play off the ball on offense. There's just a number of things that this team can do that, at least on paper, I don't think any Rick Barnes team has had the ability to do. And that's not to say this team will be as good as Tennessee's teams were with Grant Williams or Admiral Schofield, but the potential is absolutely there.
Yeah, you never know how it's all going to come together. I mean, you might have the best ingredients in the world sitting on your countertop if you're doing a cooking class and, you know, you got the oven on the wrong temperature and everything just, you know, goes to heck really quickly. But I just don't think that's how it's going to happen, especially when you talk about the maturity level, the caliber of recruit that Rick Barnes goes after, the caliber of person they are. They just seem to be older, wiser than what their age number says. Again, you never know how chemistry is going to develop and what's actually going to happen, because games aren't played on paper. But man, if you see the blueprint followed like other Rick Barnes teams have followed, it looks like a recipe for major success.
So with the news of Eve Pons coming back for his senior year at Tennessee and some SEC basketball talk today, let's hit today's power poll.
Captain, we're losing power on the warp engine.
Nuclear power pants.
What's up? I'm Kenny Powers.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
I have the power!
With great power comes great responsibility.
Full power, Mr. Scott.
The Power Pole, driven by Ted Russell Ford. Two locations to serve you, Kingston Pike and Parkside Drive.
All righty, we have the decisions. Are players staying in the draft? Are they going back to college? So today we rank the top five SEC basketball teams for this upcoming year, at least as we see it on August 4th. Joel, would you like to lead us off with your top five?
Yeah, honorable mention, I'll throw out Auburn, and they haven't been getting a ton of preseason hype, but you figure Bruce Pearl's going to do some good things there. They've got a really good recruiting class, a couple of intriguing grad transfers, so I feel like Auburn's still going to be pretty good this year. Number five, I go Alabama. They're getting John Petty Jr. back, a really good recruiting class coming in, and I think Alabama's going to continue to build off of Nate Oates' first season. Number four, Arkansas. I really like what Eric Musselman did. They were 20-12 last year. Really, they were 19-7 when Isaiah Joe wasn't in the lineup. He's coming back. They have a top 10 recruiting class. I think Arkansas is going to be really tough. Number three, LSU. You got three key players that all announced they were coming back over the weekend, so a lot of key returning players, more recruiting talent coming in. Will Wade has obviously proven that he's a good coach. Jokes aside, LSU is going to be a good basketball team. Number two, Kentucky, losing a lot, gaining a lot, but number one, I really do think it's Tennessee. You have Eve Pons coming back, John Fulkerson coming back. The backcourt's going to be loaded. There's so much depth. You got good grad transfers, and with Victor Bailey Jr. now being eligible, there's just so much to like about this Tennessee basketball team.
Joel has Tennessee number one in the SEC in basketball. Heather Harrington, your top five teams.
Hey, let me give a quick shout out to Vince Ferrara, because during these power polls, when you're out, Josh, he always tries to cram like seven or eight things into the top five. I very much feel that pain today because there's a lot of different ifs and. So I'm also going to give an honorable mention to the Auburn Tigers and the recruiting class that Bruce Pearl is bringing in. Also, you just can't ever count out Bruce Pearl. So that's going to be my honorable mention. And then I'm going to have Florida in the number five spot. Arkansas, I also have at number four. LSU, I've got three. Kentucky and Tennessee, I actually have bracketed. I've got them one. Flip a coin and decide. I mean, Kentucky coming in with the number one recruiting class in the country, I just feel like it's going to be a split vote.
Tomorrow's power poll, the top five reasons Heather hates Tennessee. Would that be a good idea? Or we can figure it out tomorrow.
Don't put those demons on me, Ricky Bobby. Don't do it.
Okay, honorable mention for me. I also have Auburn in the honorable mention category. Florida, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, and Missouri. All honorable mention.
Stop it.
Number five, I have the Alabama Crimson Tide. They're getting a lot of hype. Petty coming back is no doubt a big deal for the Tide. I have LSU at number four. Part of this is going to end up being a Musselman vote. So I have LSU at number four with Arkansas number three. Joe coming back is a big deal. It wouldn't surprise me to see LSU be higher where Heather, you and Joel both had him. I have Kentucky at number two and Tennessee number one. So Tennessee is outright or at least shares the number one spot in all three of our top fives.
No Florida for you and Joel Silverberg, whereas Joe Lenardi back, you know, during this COVID hiatus that we've all been on, actually had done some 2021 look bracketology, had them as a four seed in the South region.
Yeah, I need to see them not underachieve based on expectations. Now, this year they're going to get less hype, so maybe it'll take away a little pressure. I don't know. I wouldn't count Florida out. That's why I mentioned them in the honorable mention. Of course, I mentioned almost everyone. But the Gators, I do think, should absolutely be a tournament team and should be one of the toughest teams to play in the SEC. Yeah, nothing wrong with having them in the top five.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to know if maybe y'all knew something I didn't, or if I was a little too high on them and not as high on Alabama. I recognize Petty, an incredible player, but I flipped the coin and went with the Gators in that five spot.
That is the Power Poll, our top five SEC basketball teams, at least as of August 4th. Joel, a reminder for everyone, you have the Behind the Arc podcast.
Yep. Just dropped that yesterday afternoon as soon as we got the information about Eve Pons announcing he was returning back. Plus, just a quick look at other big-time schools. Illinois is a team that's really a huge winner when it comes to key players returning, so I've got more information on that. The Big Ten looks loaded, and it's not even because of the Michigan schools. And, of course, a wrap-up around the rest of the SEC as well with other key players returning.
All right, that's going to do it for Sports 180 today. Sports Talk is coming up next. You also have the news item of Rafael Nadal not playing in the 2020 U.S. Open. That's come out here in the last few minutes. I'm sure there will be developments in the next 21 hours that we will discuss tomorrow starting at noon. Hopefully, our pets' heads won't fall off between now and then as we continue to move forward here in the sports world. For Joel Silverberg and for Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Sports Talk is coming up next right here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.